Sunday we looked at the Magi, at the wise men, a group of non-Jews who came in search for the king of the Jews. We compared that story really to anyone who comes in pursuit of a king, searching to find and to know God. Well, this morning we're going to look at a different kind of God seeker, one who already knew the Lord, not a Gentile like the Magi were, coming from a distant land. This guy was Jewish. He was living in Jerusalem. The Bible describes him as a godly man, a righteous man, a student of the law and the prophets. And he was also a man with a secret mission and passion in his life, because this guy had a promise from God, and that kept him focused. That kept him pursuing God for a lifetime. It's amazing how a word from God can keep you going, even when, you know, you're having to wait a long time to see the fulfillment of the promise. You're waiting for it, but you say, but I know this is what God spoke to me. I know he said this. This is what's going to happen. And so you just keep pursuing that and keep seeking the Lord, because you know it's out there, even though it may be delayed or you may have to wait. So this man's experience reminds us that seeking the Lord is not a one-time event, but it's a lifetime commitment to know and to grow in our relationship with the Lord. The man we're talking about is Simeon, and you'll find his story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. So if you want to find that on your phone or in your Bible or whatever you use in this morning. Simeon teaches us not only about the importance of seeking God and pursuing him, but about the importance of pursuing the will of God and the fulfillment of God's plan for our lives. And there are several lessons we learn as we study Simeon's pursuit of the king. Like the Magi, we don't have a lot of information. The scripture doesn't give us a lot of information about Simeon. And church tradition says he was 113 years old. So I don't know if that's the case, but if that is so, well then he's one old guy. And the Bible said he was righteous and devout. He was coming daily to the temple to worship, to study the scripture, to seek the Lord, and to wait. Because the Bible says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, until he had seen the Messiah. So day after day, this guy comes to the temple. He's literally a God seeker because he's expecting to see the Savior, the Messiah, come into the temple. Unaware, and that's interesting, unaware that this had happened about 5 miles away in Bethlehem. He didn't know that Jesus had been born, so here he is waiting. I want you to think about that this morning. You've been praying for something. God's spoken to you that he's going to fulfill this promise, this word to your life, and it may be that the answer to that prayer is 5 miles away. It may be that the answer has been birthed this morning. It just hasn't reached you yet, but it's just around the corner. So I'm encouraging you this morning, don't give up. Don't quit believing. Don't quit thinking about tomorrow. Don't quit thinking about the promise. Don't give up on it, because it may have already happened. It may have already been born, and the Lord's bringing it to you right now. So just wait and see. Just keep trusting the Lord. So anyway, he's daily coming to the temple to pray. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. It strikes me as interesting that they marveled at what Simeon says after all the events that have happened and angels coming and shepherds and all that, but they're still marveling at everything that's happening. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So Luke gives us our only glimpse at these first days after the birth of Jesus. So it tells us in Luke 2, verse 21, that on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And so this may have happened in Bethlehem at the synagogue. There would have been a rabbi and a moel, a guy that does circumcisions, and then that was to happen 8 days after birth. And so that event could have happened there in Bethlehem. But now the Bible says, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord. And so 40 days after the birth, the Jewish law prescribed that they were to go to Jerusalem to present the child to the Lord. It was the custom and a ritual to redeem the son or to consecrate the son. And so they make this journey. They're still in Bethlehem. They make this journey 5 or 6 miles back up to Jerusalem and into the temple. And so this is the moment then that Luke records for us. We assume that Mary is the one who tells Luke about all this, and we get this information. But think about this. Simeon didn't know when any of this was going to happen, when the Messiah was going to be born. So he's waiting faithfully every day, watching and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Think about going to the temple every day. You watch people walk in. They're coming in and going out, and he's thinking, I wonder if that could be him. I wonder how old he's going to be. Is it going to be a baby? Is it going to be a toddler? Am I going to be here at the birth, or is it something else? Maybe he'll come for his bar mitzvah, and the Holy Spirit will let me know then. So he's looking from 12-year-old boys. Oh, no, that's probably not him. And he's just waiting for God to reveal this to him. We said he was a student of the Word. Imagine him reading the words of the prophet. And Isaiah says, and a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. And he's thinking, Emmanuel, God with us, what can that mean? What does that mean, and how does that help me know who he's going to be? Or he reads where the prophet says that that those who live in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, and that light has shined into the darkness. For a child will be born, a son is given, and the government will be upon him. And he's reading all that and trying to figure out what does it all mean? I think Simeon must have thought, you know, those who wait in darkness, that includes me. I'm waiting in darkness to see the birth of this child. I don't know when it's going to happen, what it's going to look like, but Lord, whenever it happens, I'm going to be here. I'm determined that I'm going to be here. I just don't know how it's all going to work. And Simeon waited, not knowing who he was waiting for, how he was going to know him, how he would recognize him, how old he was going to be. He just knew he had this assignment. He had this mission, this purpose, and it was to pursue the king and to seek after the Lord. Simeon was a God seeker. And you need to know that God seekers aren't concerned with how much time it takes. We're just going to do this however long it takes. If it takes a lifetime, if it takes 6 months, whatever. In fact, we realize it is a lifetime commitment. That this relationship we're to have with the Lord, it's not a hobby. It's not hit or miss. This is not just something we're going to do for a couple of years or to get us through high school or we're just coming then or whatever. It is an all-consuming passion and mission. And God seekers aren't concerned about how much time it takes because they're being enriched and blessed by the journey. It's a lifetime of discovering the riches of God's mercy and grace. So you start as a kid or a teenager, whenever you start, but you're never going to give up seeking Him and coming to know Him. Here's what God says to us: call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's a promise that He's made to us. If you'll seek me, you'll find me. And if we'll accept that, if we'll claim that promise and begin to look for Him and search for Him in His Word and by the Spirit, and we give ourselves to God, we're going to find Him. And God seekers are transformed by the process, enriched by the journey, and they're confident of the outcome. We're certain we're going to find Him because that's what He said. If you seek me, you're going to find me. I'm confident of the outcome of this, that in one way or another, I'm going to know Him like I've never known Him before. If you're a God seeker, keep seeking and keep pursuing Him and pursuing that deeper, richer relationship with Him. Don't ever stop pursuing Jesus. You won't be disappointed. I've never heard anybody say, I regret all those years I spent serving the Lord. Instead, what I hear people say is, I wish I'd come to know Him sooner. I wish I'd known Him sooner in my life because He's made all the difference in my life. Simeon knew that God had promised he wouldn't die till he'd seen the Messiah. But he's 113. He's growing older. And where did he get the confidence and the faith to keep trusting and keep seeking and pursuing without doubting or giving up? So let me give you a couple of things here we see in the scripture about this. First of all, Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. Notice what the Bible said. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It's the Old Testament way of talking about what's happened to us when Jesus came to dwell in us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon someone. Well, he dwells in us now as followers of Jesus. But it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, and moved by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple courts. So Simeon was focused on the life of God. He was focused on being led by the Holy Spirit. And you see, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the plan and purposes of God to the believer. It's the Holy Spirit that takes everything that Jesus secured for us on Calvary by his death and resurrection, everything that Jesus has provided for us, the Holy Spirit then delivers to us, brings to us, births in us, and begins to produce and form and fashion in us. All of that is by means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks a word of promise in our heart. He's the one who makes God's word come alive in our life and spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that directs and reveals and teaches and convicts and convinces. It's the Holy Spirit that produces the character of Christ in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that wants to lead and direct and guide your steps, your conversation. He wants to do it whether you're in middle school or whether you're living in the senior housing or whatever, it doesn't matter. He wants to lead and direct your steps. If you'll listen to him, if you'll tune in, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. If you listen to him, the Holy Spirit can guide your steps and the path you're going to take. So Simeon was committed to this, to being led by the Holy Spirit. If you tune in and trust him and his guidance, he'll direct your steps. It was the Spirit that spoke to Simeon that morning, go to the temple courts. He moved by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. He went, he wasn't going to give up. He knew that somehow this was going to happen, and the Holy Spirit directs him, today's the day. But if he's moved by the Spirit, it means Simeon had to be listening to the voice and the guidance, the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think he was praying every day, Lord, direct my steps today. Maybe this is the day when the Messiah comes. Show me the way. Lead and guide my steps. Help me to hear what the Spirit is saying to me today. And that's his prayer as he goes through the day. But how did he know for sure it was the voice of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking to him? Well, here's the second thing. Simeon was taught by the Word of God. Simeon knew the promises of God from the Word of God. He knew what the prophets had said about the birth of a coming king, one who would be called Emmanuel, God with us, mighty, mighty God, wonderful counselor. And Simeon knew what the prophet Micah had said, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He knew what the scriptures had said. And so led by the Spirit and led in step with the Word of God, Simeon then has a sense of what this may look like. He's attentive to the voice of the Lord. But understand, just saying, well, I felt like I heard the voice of the Lord, or I felt a witness from the Lord, we have to know how to distinguish God's voice from all the other voices that may be speaking in your head this morning. Walter Wangren wrote, we must learn Scripture in order to distinguish God's voice from, say, the voices of our own yearnings. Even just to know that it is God talking and not our strong desires, which can delude us after all. We must hear him speaking where we know for sure it is him in the Bible. Here's how you know. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is only going to speak in agreement with what God's already said in his Word, in the Bible. And so how do I know what God wants for my life? It's revealed here, right? The Bible says, how does a young man keep his way pure? How do you keep from falling into sin? You hide God's word in your heart. You live according to God's word, God's rule, God's principle, his order for our lives. And so if we want to know what's the Spirit saying, he's still speaking through his word. And so we make sure that what we hear by the Holy Spirit lines up with the word of God. And Simeon needed more than just a thought in his mind or a witness in his heart. You know, this feels right to me, but is this what God's word says? And does that feeling then line up with the word of God? Is the Messiah coming? Yes. Will he be born around here in Bethlehem? Yes. And what will be the sign? Well, he already knew the sign. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. They'll call his name Jesus. All these things begin to fit into place because this is what the prophets and the word have said. And Simeon knew the word, trusted in it to give him direction and to define his steps, and that gave him the confidence to wait patiently for the Messiah's arrival. You have to know what the word of God says. You have to be led by the Spirit, and you have to know the word of God. And here's the third thing. Simeon was obedient to the will of God. And it's just that simple. Simeon didn't despair, and he didn't give up, and he didn't get tired of waiting for the answer to his prayer or for the fulfillment of the promise, because Simeon was committed to obeying the will of God. So here he stands at 113, a little stooped, got his walker, and here he is, and he says, "This is what God told me to do, so this is what I'm going to do. This is what God's word says to do. This is what his spirit confirms in my heart to do, so this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live." And folks, a lot of people know what the Bible says, and they may even have the witness of the Spirit, but if they're not doing what the Bible says to do and not doing what the Spirit says to do, then, man, we've got a problem there. We need to walk in obedience to the will and the word of God for our lives. And I know folks that know what the Bible says, but they're not doing what the Bible says, but they're still expecting God's blessing and favor in their life, even though they're living in disobedience to everything God says to do. And folks, it doesn't work that way. Victory in your life and God's provision in your life comes as a result of obedience to God and his word and his plan and his purpose. So, I'm hanging around church. Won't that qualify me for something? Well, hang around church, that's great. Good for you. God bless you, and we're glad you're here. And I believe the word of God's going to find its way into your heart. But you need to open your heart and say, I want to obey what God's word says. I want to live for Jesus. I want to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to surrender my life to him. And when you do that, the blessings of God come with obedience to the word of God and begin to live out what God calls you to. So like Simeon, to be a God seeker in pursuit of a king for a lifetime, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to know the word of God, and we have to commit ourselves to obeying the will of God. And as a result of that, what happens? Simeon finds himself holding the Son of God in his arms. God in flesh, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, takes on flesh, and Simeon gets to hold him in his arms and bless him. God fulfilled his promise and his word to Simeon, and I believe he'll fulfill that word and promise to you. What he's spoken to you, what he said he's going to do in your life, he's yet going to do it. He'll be faithful to you. But remember, Simeon had to wait to see the fulfillment of that promise, and you may have to wait. And I got to tell you, waiting's the hardest part, isn't it? Waiting for the answer, waiting for God to reveal himself, waiting for God to bring you what you're waiting for. I don't wait very well. It's just patience is, it may be a virtue, and it's one that I don't have. I'll drive 15 miles out of the way to not have to wait in traffic. Yesterday, the exits were closed at 33rd and at Union. If you were going eastbound or whatever, and you had to go all the way to Lewis to turn around to get back to church, somebody discovered, because I was warned about it. And I heard that somebody, well, I was going to try to keep you out because this is going out over the air, but to our law enforcement officials, someone in the church actually cut across the center median to get over here because they just couldn't wait in the line. It wasn't me, yeah. But anyway, but I'm kind of that way. I don't wait well. It's just not what I do. It's like, no, that's why I don't go through drive-thrus, because I figure I just won't do that, because four cars up there is a lady saying, "I'm sorry, you gave me one that has mayonnaise. I needed that with, and can I get extra ketchup?" And there's somebody that refuses to pull on through the line because they're just waiting and all that, and you're trapped back there in a line. So I'm glad that Arnold's drive-thru is open now, and you that want to go through can get your burger and head on out. But I don't trust those people two cars in front of me. They're having a personal crisis. They're up there chatting with Vicky through the drive-thru about whatever, and I just get your burger and pull on through. Come on. Right? I get free onion rings for promoting Arnold's on. I don't do that, but I'm looking at Frank and Vicky Arnold back there. So anyway. But I just don't wait very well. And here's Simeon waiting 113 years. He's 113 years old. He's waiting for the revelation. This is what I've been waiting for. My goodness, I don't wait very well. What do you do while you're waiting on the promise of God to be fulfilled in your life? Let me suggest some things real quick. First of all, acknowledge God's sovereignty, and by doing so, accept his timing in your life. First of all, let's agree that God's sovereign. He stands above every other power and authority, and he rules and he reigns with ultimate knowledge, because he's eternally existent. Before the world began, before there was anything, there was God. There was nothing, but there was God, and all things exist because of him, and eternity will never end, but on the other end of a non-ending eternity, there is God, because he's eternally God in forever, past, present, future, in always. And he knows everything, and he rules all things, and if we believe that to be the case, that he's above all and is all-knowing and all-powerful and eternally present, we ought to be able to accept his timing and his plan in the events of our life. But we're not. Because we want to say to him, you just don't get it, do you? If you only understood, I need this right now and I need it this way, and we get frustrated and we get angry and we're upset because things don't happen when we want or the way we want, and we start to think God doesn't care about us because what he promised or what we've prayed for hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened in our timing. It hasn't happened the way we expected it to happen. But listen, the Bible says, tells us we're to seek after him, but then it reminds us that his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And who can know those things? And so we expect God to act according to our calendar and our timing. And Lord, it's 10 minutes till and I need you to do this by 1 o'clock and here's the deadline. But the Bible says God acts in what Paul calls the fullness of time. And in the fullness of time, God sent his son to redeem us. Well, I'd rather it been on Wednesday, you know, at 10:30 this Wednesday, and God says, no, 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 it won't work then, but it will work in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. I remember years ago when Victory was being built, and I'd see Billy Joe Doherty at different things, and I'd say, Billy Joe, how's the building coming? How's the church building coming? And when's it going to be done? And Billy Joe would always smile, and he'd say, it'll be finished right on time. Be finished right on time. When's that going to be? It'll be right on time. It'll just be finished right on time. That's the fullness of time. When's God going to answer that prayer you've been praying? He'll answer it right on time. It'll come right on time. It'll be the fulfillment of God's time and plan and purpose for you. You can trust him because God knows the timing on this, so you can rest in his sovereignty and in his timing. The second thing, acknowledge God's sovereignty, and by doing so, accept his faithfulness. Because God is God, we know that he's trustworthy and faithful. He's the one who sent his son to die on the cross for us while we were still sinners. He loved us that much. He loves us and he still loves us. And so we can trust him. And people may let us down. Family members may let us down. Friends may let us down. Employees or employers or colleagues may let us down. Somebody may betray you. But the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no, of course not. Of course, if he says he's going to do it, he does it. God said it. God promised it. He spoke it. So he'll bring it to pass for Simeon or for you or for your family or in your circumstances because he's faithful. It's who he is. Jeremiah 1, verse 12, God tells his prophet Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to see that it's fulfilled. God's got his eye on there to make sure that what he says is to happen happens. And he does that for Jeremiah and his circumstances. And he does it for you this morning and your circumstances. And what God has spoken to you, what God says he's going to do, he's going to watch over it to see that it happens. It's going to happen for you, for Jeremiah, for that prophet, and for the one that I'm looking at right there. For Jeremiah, it's going to happen. And for Jeff and all the other J's sitting out there, it's going to happen for you because he said it was going to happen, and you can trust him because God is faithful. He's faithful to bring into your life what he promised to do for you. Then here's the next thing. Don't doubt in the darkness what God spoke to you in the light. Preachers have been advising people of that for a lot of years, and I'm sure there were seasons in Simeon's life when he must have thought, I guess I've missed God or I missed it somehow. I've waited for years and still God's promise hadn't been fulfilled. I must have misunderstood something. And in the dark and in the silence, he had to stop and say, but no, I know what I heard in the light. I know what God spoke to me. And even though it's dark now, and even though I can't see the next step to take, and even though I don't see the fulfillment coming my direction, I still believe what God told me was going to happen is going to happen. I still believe God's faithful, and I won't doubt in the darkness what God spoke in the light. Some of us know what it is to cling to the Lord in the darkness. To cling to him in the silence and in the mystery, when you can't see anything, when you don't know the next step, when it seems like all your plans and all that God had promised, you watched it all go up in smoke. I mean, some of you have literally stood and watched a house burn or a business burn down, or emotionally you've stood and watched your dreams burn up, or you've watched a marriage crumble, or you watched all the pieces fall apart, or you watched parents fall apart or whatever, and you're standing there in the dark thinking, I thought God was going to work this out, and you're clinging to Him in the darkness. Keep pursuing God in the midst of all that. Keep following Him, even if you don't know the step after the next one to take. Where is He and where's the promise? He's still there. He's still there, and you can trust what He spoke to you in the light. Keep on trusting, because God's going to come through. Keep pursuing the King. The psalmist said, commit your way to the Lord and be still before Him and wait patiently for Him, and don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. In other words, when everything's falling apart, don't worry about all that. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, don't give up. Evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord are going to inherit the land, and they'll enjoy great peace. His promise is, don't be distracted by all the stuff that falls apart around you or when wicked men seem to be prospering. Just keep looking to Jesus and keep trusting Him that what He's promised, He's going to bring it to pass. Evil people are winning. Yeah, well, let them win. But God ultimately is going to bring you into a place of great peace. He's going to provide for you. He's going to honor and keep His word, and you can trust Him. And then remain determined to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the longer you wait for the promise to be fulfilled, the easier it is to become distracted by a thousand different things. By a thousand different things. And you say, what'd you say about a thousand different things? Yeah, it's easy to get distracted by a thousand. Oh, yeah. What? I was distracted. We start to be led astray. Thank you. I appreciate that, because a lot of people were so distracted, even the second time they didn't get that. So we start thinking, what does this really make any difference? I mean, I can't see the pursuing God is making a difference for me. And Pastor Jeff said that if I had served the Lord and had come to youth or whatever, this was going to happen. And you told me that if I would just hang in there and keep serving God, it was going to happen. Well, I've been doing that for 2 years or 2 months or 30 years or whatever, and I haven't seen a change. Maybe God's forgotten about it. And we start tuning out instead of tuning in to God's word and to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when it's all going to happen, right? The Bible says that in due season we're going to reap if we don't faint, if we don't throw in the towel, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. I don't know when that is. But what if Simeon had said, that's it for me. I'm out of here. I'm done. I've been waiting. I'm 113 years old. There's a couple of things I want to do before I die, before I get old. You know, he's out planting crops. Anyway. I've been going to the temple every day for years. The Messiah hadn't shown up. I'm finished. I'm staying home from now on. What if he'd given up? What if that was the morning he'd given up? What if he'd ignored the leading of the Holy Spirit that moved him to go to the temple courts that day? He would have missed the answer to his prayers. He would have missed the very thing that he'd been waiting for. He would have missed the fulfillment of the promise. Listen, remain faithful and keep listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and keep saying yes to what God tells you to do. Keep walking in obedience to Him, because the day's going to happen. It's going to happen just as He said. Don't miss what God has for you, and remain determined to be righteous and devout. That was the description the Bible gives of Simeon. Sold out, committed to serving Jesus, to living this life of holiness and faithfulness to God. And there was no compromise in Simeon. It had been a lot of years of waiting and serving the Lord and pursuing Him. And still no sign of the promise, but he never wavered, never stopped, and never gave up. Have you thought about throwing in the towel? Have you thought about giving up? Have you thought about walking away from Jesus and from the faith and from the promise? Have you thought about, you know, it'll be easier for me if I go somewhere else? Listen, I think if you'd asked Simeon, have you thought about giving up? I think he would have said, given up? Well, why would I give up now? I'm 113. You see, the longer you wait, the closer you are to the victory. I'm almost to the finish line. If I was going to give up, I never would have started. I didn't start this to get partway in this thing. It's like people throwing in the towel and quitting school 3 weeks before they graduate. What in the world? What were you thinking? You should have quit 6 years ago. Why bother with it? Come on, you're almost there. Stay in there. Let's do this. I get it. I mean, the Simeon's thinking, I'm almost to the finish line now. I mean, I can almost see the light of His coming glory. The fulfillment of God's promise has got to be nearer than at any time in my life, so I'm not going to quit. Now's the time not to quit. It's time to double down and be even more faithful and more steadfast and more committed than ever, because surely the coming of the Lord and the birth of the Messiah must be just at hand. It's got to be. And church, now's not the time to quit. If you're a God seeker, don't quit. Press in. It's later than it's ever been. We're closer to eternity than we've ever been. We're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. If you're pursuing Jesus, then you ought to be closer to Jesus than you've ever been. His glory's about to be shown to you in ways that you've never seen before. Stay close and get closer, because he has blessing and he has provision for you that you haven't experienced yet. It's no time to quit. Press on in, and then remain determined to be a worshiper. Don't stop worshiping and praising. Well, I'm just discouraged. Well, then praise your way on through it. I battled through depression, and I learned I'm going to praise him in spite of the darkness and in spite of the depression. I'd say, Lord, thank you. I'm one day closer to the end of this darkness than I was yesterday. I praise you because you're going to liberate me and bring me through this. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and begins to worship and praise him. Sovereign Lord, you've kept your promise. Praise God, you've been faithful to your word. This is your salvation, the Savior I've been waiting for. And Simeon rejoices and fellowships. And why would he do that? Because he'd been doing it as a lifestyle, year after year, worshiping God. I don't know if it's today, but I praise you because you're going to keep your word and you'll keep your promise to us. Every day in the temple, praising and worshiping and thanking God and expecting God to be faithful and to honor his word to us. Hallelujah. That's what we expect. During the long nights and waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise, waiting for God's timing, keep worshiping and keep praising and keep standing on his promise. He's worthy of worship and praise. And finally, what happens for those who refuse to quit and who pursue the King? God seekers see God. Those who pursue the King see the King. The wise man pursued and they kept searching and they found him. And Simeon kept going to the temple pursuing him. And finally the day comes when God says to him, that's the one. See the couple coming in right there, the young lady and the older man? That's the one. The one holding the baby, that's the one. And Simeon walks up. Can you imagine the fulfillment of those years as the Holy Spirit whispers, this is the King? And Simeon takes him in his arms. She's saying, watch the head, whatever. I got this, I got this. I've been practicing this. You don't know how many babies I've gathered up in my arm waiting for the Holy Spirit to say, this is the one. Lady, I won't drop this kid. And he cradles Jesus in his arm and says, oh, sovereign Lord, thank God. If you're 113, you're ready to go to heaven. I'm just going to tell you. And so he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you brought him here. And now your servant can depart in peace. Anna's going to be the one that says that. But he's rejoicing in this because he's been pursuing the King. Pursue the King and he'll reward you with himself. And friends, I'm going to tell you, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. Hear the word of the Lord again from the prophet Jeremiah. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And then he adds this, and I'll bring you back from captivity. You see, that was the whole reason Jesus came, to bring good news and to liberate the captives and to bring everybody home to the Father. And that's what the prophet Jeremiah is saying. You've been in exile for 70 years, but if you'll call on the Lord and seek him and pursue him, he'll bring you home. And what I'm telling you is today that there's a promise that the Lord says to you, I'm going to bring you from that place of brokenness and that place of loneliness and the despair and the discouragement and the depression and the suicidal thoughts and just wanting to throw up your hands and quit and run and hide. That place of pain or that place of brokenness, that place of hopelessness, that place of exile, he says, I'm going to bring you back to a place of what we say, healing and hope and laughter and peace. So if you'll keep pursuing him and seeking him and his ways and his will for your life, he says, don't worry, you'll find me and I'll bring you back from captivity. I'll bring you back to a good place and I'll give you healing and help. If you've grown discouraged, if you've abandoned hope, if you've given up on God's promise, be encouraged today. God's calling you to pursue him and to seek him. And if you'll seek and pursue the King, you'll find him and he'll bring you home and where you need to be. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you this morning for your promise. I thank you that your promise is still for us. It wasn't just for Israel coming out of exile all those years ago that Jeremiah gives voice to your word and to your spirit. Seek me, and if you do that, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, and I'll bring you back from captivity. Lord, it wasn't just for a nation, it's for us today. It's for people that are in bondage. It's for people that are in despair. It's for people that feel overwhelmed and hopeless today. There's good news that if we seek you, we'll find you and we'll find the help that we need. This morning, if you're here and you need a touch from God, you need healing, or you need deliverance from that discouragement and despair, it feels like you're a long ways away. God's calling you this morning, and I just feel like you're supposed to step out and just come and stand here at the front so we can pray for you. Anybody, it just feels pretty desperate inside, I want you to come and just stand here. I want to pray for you this morning. We're going to believe God to liberate you. He's bringing you home. Come on. That's all right. Come on. There's others this morning. God's speaking to your heart. You just need to respond to this. We're not going to take a long time, but we need to pray together this morning. I didn't do this first service, but I feel prompted of the Lord this morning. We need to pray together today. We're going to pray for people. You're battling with discouragement. You're battling with despair. Something, it feels like you've been far away, and God's saying, I want to bring you close. I want to bring you close. And what's he say? Seek me and you'll find me. And just by walking down here, standing here, you're saying, Lord, I'm seeking you. And you that are watching online today, it's for you as well. You can't get here physically, but boy, you can sure move towards him. Seek him and you'll find him. And he'll bring you back from captivity. He'll bring you out of the darkness. He'll bring you out of that place of despondency and despair. And he'll bring light and hope to you. Do you believe that today? You that are here, do you believe that? Wave at me if you believe that God's faithful. If you believe that he'll keep his word. Simeon is a testimony to the faithfulness of God, that he waited and he waited, but he kept pursuing God and he found him. And if you'll keep pursuing him, look, there's a couple of dozen people down here that are pursuing him. They need to find him today. Would you agree with me for these friends who have come this morning and for those who are watching online? Let's believe God together. There may be somebody you know down here you'd want to just slip down and lay a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Feel free to do that, but let's pray together this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe you that this is a day of liberation, that you're bringing the captive home because that's what you said you'd do. So we're not afraid, Lord. We trust you that you're going to honor your word to us. You're going to honor your word to our family. You're going to bring victory, Lord. You're going to do what only you can do to bring victory, to bring us home to you. If we seek you, we'll find you. It's true for us and for our children and our grandchildren. It's true for us and our families that if we seek you, we'll find you. And there's victory for us. There's liberty for us. There's liberation for us, Lord, that you'll change us and transform us today. There's healing for us today. There's provision for us today, Lord. Your hand is upon us today. There's help for us today. You come to rescue us today. You come to deliver us today, Lord, because we run to you. We seek you. And if we seek you, we'll find you. If we seek you, Lord, you'll bring us home. And you'll bring us, you'll set us free from fear and worry. Oh God, and the despair, all that stuff that's troubling us in our heart and soul. We run to you today, and you're the victor, Lord. You're the liberator for us, and you give us hope. You give us hope, and you give us healing. You restore what the enemy's tried to steal from us, because you're the faithful God, and your promises are true for us. Your promises are true for us and for our family. Your promises are true, Lord. Your witness to us is true. We won't despair. We won't give up, Lord. We're going to pursue you and we're going to find you because your promise is there for us, Lord. Your promises are true. Your witness to us is true, Lord. Your testimony is true for us, Lord, that you'll do what only you can do. You'll provide in ways that nobody else can provide. Your provision, Lord, is beyond abundance. And your word to us today is a word of hope and a word of peace, Lord. We're not in despair. We're not in despair because our hope and our trust is in the Lord. You're the one that provides for us. There's victory for us today. Lord, let it be. I pray for healing. There are folks standing in this line. They've been praying for God to heal them. And there's still sickness. And they're still troubled. And they're still frightened. But I believe you today, Lord, that by your grace, you'll bring healing into their bodies and into their lives. I pray, Lord, for that chronic illness to be gone, for that chronic pain to lift right now from somebody's body in the name of Jesus. I pray for that depression and despair, that dark cloud that's hovered over them, to lift from them in the name of Jesus. The shackle to be broken. Oh God, that you would lift them and fill them with joy. Lord, there's somebody here today. They've listened. We referenced it, Sarah referenced it earlier in the service, regardless of what somebody had spoken over you. And Lord, there are voices that have spoken and said to people that you're never going to make it. You're never going to amount to anything. You're always going to be trouble. They've spoken words that were cruel. They spoke words that were filled with lies. This morning, Lord, there's a whisper from the Holy Spirit. Listen for that word. That's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to your heart this morning, that's telling you that God has a different plan for you. It's a plan of hope, and it is a plan of peace, and He's going to lead you and help you, so you don't have to believe that. You don't have to choose that path. God has something different and something better for you. That's His word to you today. You can trust Him. That voice that you hear that says God loves you, and God has His hand upon you, and God has a purpose, and God has a design for you. That's the voice you embrace. Lay hold of it and listen to it and follow Him and follow His word and follow His instruction and serve Him today. Lord, we pledge ourselves to You that we're going to obey You, that we're going to walk according to Your plan and Your purpose for our lives. We won't step back or turn back from following You, but we're going to obey You and serve You. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare it today, Lord, that if we seek You, we'll find You. And when we find You, there'll be hope for us today. When we find You, You're going to restore all that the enemy's tried to steal from us. In finding You in that search, Lord, we find peace and we find grace. We find all we have need of in You. And we bless You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Because He is worthy. He is mighty. He is faithful. He is truth. He is good. He is everything we have need of today. We can rest in His promise. God is going to keep His promise to you. He's going to fulfill His promise in His word. Trust Him. Trust His timing and rest in Him. Amen. Amen. Go and